Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/redcircle.
I thought the scenery was ready, but now I'm not sure.
If you're not sure, how am I supposed to light it?
Yeah, and what am I going to tell my guys?
Sure. Are you guys ready yet?
The director is here.
Hi, Daisy.
Director's here, everybody.
Okay, guys, let's get cracking. We had 10 seconds till showtime, okay?
Okay.
And place, everybody. Got that?
Okay.
Ready, Joey?
Ready, JD?
Let's do it. Ready, Cheryl?
As always, JD.
Okay, and roll sound and video.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast show. This is episode 3 of 5 of toy-based pilots that didn't go anywhere. TV's Gina Ippolito could not be with us today, so we have gone ahead and replaced her with everyone's favorite stepmom, Eileen Mary Maze O'Connor.
Hello. I missed all my little stepchildren. Now, give your stepmommy a hug.
Now, I don't know if Eileen, you've been on the show since the big blessed day. I think you have. So people know by now you're finally a kept woman.
I am. I'm no longer an unclaimed treasure. I don't know. Maybe I've been on since then, but you know what? Because my wedding day still feels like just yesterday, so who knows?
Oh, that's fair. I'll say it was a lovely service at a very beautiful church in Santa Monica, and myself and Robert Clark Chan were both there.
Yep.
We were both there at the wedding, and there was like 19 hours between wedding and service, but that's okay. Because
that wasn't by choice.
No, it was not. You had venues issues.
I had a venue that decided they were going out of business, and we already had the church booked, and we had to find a new reception hall place, and then we found a new one, but there had to be a long gap of time, and it's fine.
No, there's no.
There was a British pub in between, so that was not a problem.
Me and Robert Clark Chan went day drinking with TV's break room zone Tommy Bechtold. And a few others.
I do not recommend that for anybody.
You know, keeping up, I mean, I feel like I managed okay, but it's hard.
And then he had to go to the reception where there was a very open bar with just very good liquor.
It was very good. No, you had a wonderful, wonderful reception, wonderful
Thank
everything.
You.
But that's not why we're here today, is it, Robert Clark Chan?
Isn't
what
it?
The hell have you done to us?
I've been watching tape of the wedding, getting ready and taking notes. I got sound drops and everything.
There is a YouTube video of the ceremony. Check that in the episode description.
Come on. Yeah. Yeah. Find that, kids. That's how you're going to do it.
We did live stream it. I didn't tell anyone that we were live streaming the ceremony.
How funny.
You know, a lot of relatives that can't make the trip. And I was like, it's not cheap to live stream a wedding. So like I have it on YouTube and I'm like, I got to get my money's worth.
You got to do it. You got to go full Monty at that point and just like put it out there.
Yeah.
Why not?
Wait a minute. Well, how is it not cheap to live stream a wedding? Isn't it just like live streaming a friggin' unboxing of Oreos or something?
Well, it was the church offered it, and they got to make their money.
You got run. You got run by the Lord.
I did.
Oh, Jesus rooked you.
He'll take you to heaven, but before that, he'll take you for a ride.
Wow. That is super blasphemous,
I think. God.
I'm not sure.
But I do want full disclosure for this episode. Eileen is making me drink.
I did.
That's how that works.
I peer pressured.
We're not getting wasted today, but we're going to be a little loose. And the reason for that, this is not Drunken Knowing is half the podcast, for the record. That is our 10th anniversary show. We'll be doing that in 2025 when the project has begun and our lives are all over. It'll be our final celebration. God bless America. Listen, this is called Children's Palace. Wait, I want to make sure I get the entire Children's Palace video toy chest, a toy catalog on videotape. It is, I guess, technically from 1990. You guys were right. I saw a thing saying it was 89, but I'm looking at a picture of the videotape and it says copyright 1990 right now. I would have sworn this is from like 5 years earlier, but here we are. Well, Chan, where did this come from? How did you find this?
I started looking for videos of toys, videos that came with toys, like one-off episodes, like possible like pilots that failed, but you know, they were just like to hawk a specific toy or whatever. And just tooling around Reddit, I saw this thing. I'm like, what the hell is this? And I was like, did somebody just put a bunch of fucking commercials on a tape and send it out to children in 1990? Is that what we were doing?
Yes.
And then I saw there's like, oh, there's like some interstitial stuff. And I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. I don't care. We're going to do this for the show. And so, let me tell you something. Gina is going to be so fucking jealous.
She had every opportunity to watch this. Did we not offer her a chance to do it?
We told her. And she's like, no, I got to work.
And she's busy.
Oh, my God. She's going to be so pissed because this is 100% up her alley. This is her alley. The whole thing is like you're inside Gina is what it's like.
Oh, Lord. Yeah. Look, I said before the show, I felt like half the kids in these commercials, when they like spun around, there'd be like a girl who would like hold up a toy. I swear to God, that's 8-year-old Gina. I know it. And I don't think it was, but I kept thinking it was. So a couple of things, Eileen, for you. This is part 3 of 5, as I said. Before this, we have watched a cartoon pilot based on Pogs,
Hawaiian
Slammers. And we have also watched one based on the Crash Test Dummies phenomena.
Wow. These are all good. I feel like I got the best one, though.
Look, the other thing to talk about this is a 40-minute video. This is not our normal fare. I sat down to watch this with a half hour before we recorded, and then I saw the timer, and I went, oh, no. Oh, no. Not that I'm as worried about making folks a few minutes late as I am 40 minutes of... And what this is... This is seemingly a mailer or something you would get at Children's Palace. Was like a Toys R Us back in the 80s and 90s.
Did any of you have access to a Children's Palace?
100%. It does not ring any bells.
Yes, 100%. Children's Palace. Oh. I want to say they were often like mall stores.
Yeah, it was definitely a mall store.
Like a KB Toys kind of thing.
Yeah. It was
exactly that vibe, yeah. All right. And they were cool. I like Children's Palace. I like shopping for toys there. look, I don't know what to say. They got early ass video games.
Yeah.
Although they're not super. This is like late era Nintendo Entertainment System, but the games look worse than the ones that came like 3-4 years earlier. So I don't know what happened with that, but there we'll dive into this in a sec. So this videotape is, you remember Kids Incorporated? When we did Kids Incorporated, it was like kids run the TV station and then they do musical numbers, but everybody's a kid. It's that, except it's wall-to-wall toy commercials with like 10-second lead-ins between them. And they would do like recurring characters and runners and questions. And I have questions. There were a lot of bits, and I don't know.
I couldn't keep track of the bits.
I mean, a bit per minute ratio, this is fucking stacked.
Yeah. They definitely tried to line up with the jokes and the bits, and really, they tried to find game.
There was a running gag, so they went one over. I think they pulled it out like 4 times instead of 3.
Yeah, they rule 3 is it, but they
have a concept of what comedy is.
And they didn't have us to give them notes.
No, they really should have.
I don't know that I would have had any notes. I felt like perfect, print it.
I mean, here's the thing. Here's the thing. As an adult, this is an atrocity. It is an assault on the senses, and I want nothing to do with it. As a kid, there isn't a single thing that I saw on that screen that I wouldn't have eaten with a goddamn spoon.
Some of these I wrote, I want these now. And also me as a kid, if you had given me this in 40-minute form of just toy commercials, I would have watched it 700 times.
Watch it over and over again, man. You had a videotape of it?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. I had old videotapes of Rocky and Bullwinkle. And I remember watching the same like four videotapes that were like an hour long each, like just repeated back to back to back to back. And it would have been no different. I would have just mixed in the Children's Palace video.
I have clear memories of reading the Zodi's catalog, of reading, what was it called? It wasn't called Best Buy, but it was something that started with a B. But it was just like a catalog, and you just go through it, and you know, like around Christmas time, you're just like, I want this.
We had the JCPenney and the Sears catalogs, and the Sears catalogs had the amazing displays of G.I. Joe on like half of a full page. Mm. And I would just be like, I want all of it. It's incredible.
Yeah.
Still now, I want it all.
Sure.
I was a fan of the Circuit City.
Interesting. Well, okay. Well,
uh-huh. It was like a Best Buy.
No. We know what a Circuit City is. Yes, it's closed now.
Let me explain something for once.
Are you gonna mansplain it to us?
Oh no, she's mansplaining.
I'm mansplaining, guys. My married name is Maze. I'm legally Eileen Maze, but I still go by Lee Mary O'Connell professionally. I can have it all.
This is not a professional venue, Eileen.
Yeah, we're but it's still gonna help my SEO, Robert.
Your star meter is just gonna go booming through the ceiling with this. what were you looking at in a Circuit City catalog though?
Like whenever they had like box DVD sets of like Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Whoa.
Okay. I mean, you're like not DVDs. Wrong.
Yeah.
I feel like that wasn't a thing. Well, I mean, okay, obviously, like I think I probably stopped looking at catalogs when I was like 10 or something.
So. I still look at catalogs. Like we still, my parents' house is still on the mailer list for the American Girl doll. And we always get the Christmas catalog. Yeah. And my mom saves it for me. And then when I fly home for Christmas, she like leaves it in my bedroom and then I read it. And
nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong.
It's fun. I'm fun.
I tell you, my kid has had an American Girl doll that was gifted to her. And so we bought a matching outfits for her and the American Girl doll. And they would wear them together. Oh, and it was great.
Boy. Yes.
Then she got a second one, right? A second one who sort of took over the roost. And now whenever I see her playing, the original one is like the troublemaker who needs to be punished.
I feel a little
depressed about it.
You gotta get a third then to balance it out.
A third one? Oh my god. Then that's like bringing in the Dreadnoks. Like there's just gonna be fighting constantly.
Matt, do you know which American Girl dolls she has?
I'm not 100% sure because these may not be official. These may be like the Target knockoff brand, you know?
Okay. And then there's like the kind where it's like American Girl today, like not the historical ones. And there's the kind that you can make look like yourself, which is vain but fun.
I mean, I would do it, but I don't know. I don't know. They already have Howdy Doody.
The fuck is an American Girl knockoff?
I had a childless aunt, and I was the only niece, so I had many American Girl dolls.
Oh, I love that it. Yeah.
Stuff right there.
So the question I want to ask Robert Clark Chan, can you get this? I have a lot of stuff to get queued up, and I've given you no warnings, but I did, for the sake of argument, at about 8 minutes in, start writing down times in the video. Uh-huh. So that might help a little bit.
We'll see.
First off, the theme song, because I want your guys' opinion on the theme song to the Children's Palace video.
Sure.
Yep, it would be my honor.
Who's got more toys than all the rest? Who's got the newest? Who's got the best?
Got video games by the score.
Got super low prices and a whole lot more.
More treats and bites. More
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
That is.
It's hard to believe this came out 3 years before Gin and Juice.
I feel like there's slightly different demographics there.
No, it's the same demographic.
Not in the year 2024, Chan.
You're looking for fucking grime in your children's videos?
Did you get the little bike horn? Ching, ching. You know, it was great.
Mm-hmm.
I loved it. Mm-hmm. I'm a fan. It's a banger. I just want to put it out there. I know it's a banger.
Okay. It is a banger. I'm
a full banger.
Enough hate that. Being on your side, but I am on your side in regards to this song being a banger.
Thank you. And the way this breaks down is this, again, it is like 10 seconds a bit, if even, and then a 30-second commercial, and then quickly get back to a bit to another commercial. Uh-huh. It's just wall-to-wall ads, but they break it up by companies. So it opens with Mattel.
Maybe you've heard of them.
Yeah, maybe you're familiar. Mattel made Masters of the Universe, if I remember this correctly. Not seen here because I guess those toys weren't around anymore. But they also made a big one where they say, go get the talent. She's in makeup right now. Well, go get her. She's on now. And who is it?
Hold on. We're just going to skip over the fact that this girl, this actress is doing a fucking banger Annie Potts impression.
That's true.
Okay.
Guys, she's on now. Now. Oh, you're so beautiful.
It's a lot of sexual chemistry, quite honestly, between Annie Potts girl and the director guy,
JD.
Also, I'm not sure who he's supposed to be.
Her name is Cheryl. Let's
you think I remember two people's names, one because it was inundated with us and the other because he rapped. Okay, Chan.
Oh, wow. We're going to dive right into Robo-T, are we?
We'll get into Robo-T in a second. We got some commercials to get through first. Oh, my God. It's Barbie. Barbie is the one in the chair.
Dance Magic Barbie. Not just Barbie. Dance Magic Barbie.
Dance Magic Barbie with, like, live-action Barbie and Ken dancing in the ad. That is pristine. And it really occurred to me that how cheap the ads were in 1989, 1990. Like, it cannot have been inexpensive to make these ads, but there's no way these ads seemingly done on a soundstage with minimal anything.
Well, they Dance spent Magic all their, Barbie. They yeah, spent all their marketing budget on making the little jingles.
It's true. Bangers don't come cheap.
I do remember, like, that was, like, pretty much every toy commercial was kids playing with the thing. And I don't know if that is the case anymore. Do we still do that?
Do we still have toy ads? Not really. I mean, we do, but usually they're just like fully animated and they're trying to get you into the world of the toy.
I defer to both of you on these things because I only have a dog.
The dog doesn't watch a lot of kids' TV?
He doesn't. He watches a lot of hardcore porn.
Oh my God.
That's
just kidding. He watches whatever I watch, and it's usually reruns of Degrassi, The Next Generation.
I feel like he when you're not looking, goes over to the computer, types in like a porn site,
and then with his little paws.
For doggy style. Uh-huh. Or maybe, indeed, there is probably a site devoted to only that.
He probably goes to like www.ihumppillow.com and
because oh, that's dang. All.
Yeah.
I'm going to check to see if that site's
Please
available.
Please do.
If it's not, I'm going to. It would be just like the cat videos on Netflix where it's like birds like flying across the screen. Mm-hmm. Only it would be like dogs like sensually going at pillows and stuff.
Uh-huh.
There is sadly no I Hump Pillows, or I guess that's a great thing that there is no ihumppillows.com, because that is a business opportunity for me, the entrepreneur. All right, guys,
listeners, go donate to the Patreon so that we can start www.ihumppillows.com, the domain.
Yeah.
And no one take it between now and then. Is not too cheap.
Here's the thing. Hollywood is in a huge slump. Not a lot of stuff getting produced. I bet you we could pick up some pretty big name talent for pretty cheap. Drag them over to San Fernando Valley. have him film dogs doing it with pillows.
Ryan Reynolds, are you out there?
I don't think he's doing anything this summer. I have sent you a picture that I hope Ray will post at some point, because as it flashed by, I was like, wait a minute. Is that a boy and a girl playing with these dolls? I would have expected them to be 100% girls playing with Barbie dolls. That is 100% a boy, although he might be an android. I am unsure, because he looks so plastic and weird. He looks like a Ken doll. Like, the girl looks like a normal girl. The boy looks like he has platinum blonde hair, and his face is just like weirdly tubular.
It's like AI before AI existed. See, I kind of see it as like just an unfortunate looking girl, but with a side an aggressive side ponytail.
I mean, this is 1990. That is what ponies did.
This is the first girl who I thought was Gina, just for the record.
That is not in any way, shape, or form.
For a like millisecond, Gina. I was is it?
We've seen pictures of tiny Gina.
That's
and
true.
First of all, like, jet black hair.
Like, well, that's what made me think it wasn't actually her. But, you know, it's Hollywood.
That's what gave it away.
Okay, great.
Yeah, yeah.
Jesus.
This takes, and this is where I just wrote the amazingly intelligent line. Wait a minute, is this just ads? I figured it out right here in the Barbie ad.
I feel like I made that pretty clear.
Good job.
Yeah, this would normally have taken me about 20 more minutes, but I was rushing. So this takes us to the Fantasy Park show. Definitely not shot in a park of any kind. This is barely a soundstage.
No.
You know, and I you know, me and my kid have been watching the Adam West Batman 66 TV show. And one of the things, now knowing what I know about Hollywood, is watching this show is seeing how many sets are just a soundstage with like two curtains just erected in the background. And they're like, it's the jewelry store. And I love it. It's amazing. And that's what this is as well. There's like one sort of tree, and they keep filming like right behind it, so the branches are covering their faces. I don't know what's happening here, but they cue the clouds. Let's get into it. And this brings us to the MVP, as far as I'm concerned, of this program. I am talking about the one and only Robo T.
All right.
Well, Robo T is my name, and rapping is my claim to fame. Cause everything I say and do raps and rhymes like Ted and Sue. Now that you know what I'm all about, it's time to simply rap the light out.
Not since Barney Rubble in a Pebbles commercial have I heard rapping so soulful.
I'm going to tell you all a thing that you may not know. In
science?
Oh, I want some science.
Wrong podcast.
Okay.
Also, you've missed by about 8 years.
All right, well, I'm catching up, okay? I still have a lot of seasons of Degrassi to get through, too.
In the sixth grade, I was like, someday I'm going to have a car, and I am going to have a vanity license plate on it, because that's awesome. And in the sixth grade, you're like, well, that's what you do when you're an adult.
Yeah.
You get an awesome car with an awesome license plate. The two options that I had, and I made sure to remember this, because I was like, I just need to remember this until I get old enough to drive, so that I can do this for me. 10-year-old me.
It's beautiful.
One of them was X-Men. This was in 1985 when
solid.
X-Men were not a big deal in any way, shape, or form, but like, I was super into the comic books, and so, great, you know, whatever.
You're one the for other one so far.
Was my nickname, which I was given. It was not something that I chose. And
please tell me it's Robo T. Please tell me it's Robo T.
It took me many years to actually become okay with it. And I was going to put it on a license plate someday, vanity license plate. Still might. I still
what is it?
Still alive, so it could
is
be.
Is it Little Butt Butt?
It is Little Butt Butt.
Little Butt Butt.
And it was Robo. And
oh my God.
I saw this and was like, oh no. I'm feeling all sorts of feelings. Like, is that me? Because I did like rap at a pretty early age.
You rapped in the last episode. So,
but
I missed it.
I mean, you could just listen to it.
Never.
There's a podcast.
Again, don't be ridiculous.
At impossible. Any point. Do you know how many seasons of Degrassi there are?
Drake is still age appropriate at this point. Come on, Chan.
He's still walking.
this is awful. He raps I hope you hear the air quotes I make every time I say the word rap, because it's just
we'll be hearing every single one of them. Just at home. I got timestamps starting after this one, so I'm ready for this. Yes. Mm-hmm. Can I say right now, when I was a kid, when I was 10 years old, I also wanted to get a vanity license plate. I remember this story very vividly. I told my dad, I want to get a vanity license plate when I'm older. He goes, what would that license plate say? And I said, Yo Joe, for G.I. Joe. And he's like, all right, we'll see if you still want that. And I do. Nothing has changed.
I don't know that that's a good thing, Ray. I don't think that if your goals have not changed since you were 11 years old.
Chad, I'm a podcaster who plays video games for a living. Do you think my goals have changed since I was 10 years old?
Fuck, man. You are living your 11-year-old best life.
This is it. 11-year-old me is the happiest. 97-year-old me, we'll see.
That's cute that you think I'm not gonna murder you before then.
Oh god, please. Yeah, do me a favor,
get in line, because there's a lot of people.
Oh my god. Anyway, next ad, please.
Hug Mickey, light Mickey
lights up Mickey Mouse.
I mean,
it's a Mickey Mouse who lights
up that.
It's adorable.
A lot of these commercials feel like they're targeted at the adults, because it's like, you know, like, get the warm feeling in your heart, like, you know, remember when you were a kid, and like, so like this feels like the same sort of thing, as opposed to the like, you're a fucking kid and you fucking love this. Get this shit now. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, I mean, to be fair, the ads, you know, they split, you know, for the younger kids, there would be the ads for these things. And then the older kids and some of like the more extreme ads. And this is, you could really start seeing the extreme era start peeking in through these ads, especially the older the ads skew. And I'm here for it. I mean, look, I love me a little extreme. Don't get me wrong. But the Mickey Mouse lights up. Look, what are you going to say? It's Mickey Mouse. It's nightlight. It's
his little
doll.
His little cheeks light up when you hug him. It's like,
I mean,
perfect blush.
What's there not to love?
What's his beauty routine?
Oh, man, you don't want to know.
That's rosacea, Gina. Gina.
Wow, it happened. It happened.
Wow. Okay. We got there. We're all interchangeable because we're all women.
Man, this is.
I was also a kid in the 90s, and I had dark hair and loved my life.
Also, were you in that Dance Magic Barbie commercial?
I'm pretty sure you were.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Let's go in more Disney. We're going to do a section about the great art of the world, and it turns out it's not actual art. It is a baby toy. It's the Disney Activity Gym for babies. And we have a similar one for the babies we've had here. And I mean, what a delight. You hang things above your baby and then they futilely reach out and try to grab them.
I would just like to point out that this job, whoever's job it was to write this, they were, I mean, basically just given like, here's a bunch of merch, like make a skit out of this.
Yeah, all the skits transitioned pretty well into the commercials.
I feel like that where this feels like it was made in Indiana or some like podunk town, like clearly not Los Angeles or New York or Chicago or something like that. So like there's a guy there who just always wanted to be in comedy And this is his chance to basically do, you know, a sketch show. And for that, it's, I mean, it's not great, but it is, it would be pretty cool to be that person.
It's also, this was a pre all that world. So like kids and sketches was not heard of.
You can't do that on television.
I was about to say, you can't do that on television. What are we talking about?
All right, listen, I just finished the Kenan Thompson audiobook, and all that is on top of my mind.
Oh, how many nice things does he say about Dan Schneider in that?
Zero.
That's shocking. That's shocking.
Here's the thing. Kenan Thompson is a smart dude. And I guarantee that the subject was open to him. And it was like, you know what? I am going to say nothing because this could not possibly end well for me.
No. He also said nothing about Chris Redd. And this book was published very shortly after Chris Redd's affair with Kenan Thompson's now ex-wife.
Oh, dear.
Heavens.
Oh, no. I'm
not aware of that.
Oh,
I'm, you can't see, but I'm doing Kenan Thompson as Steve Harvey going, ooh.
Well, I was like, very classy. He didn't mention, he didn't say a single thing. Like, good for you, Kenan.
You know, I mean, to be fair, I don't know. Being a guy of a certain age in this town, even in Detroit, sometimes you're friends with somebody who do very good things for you over a period of time, and then you find out that they're garbage people, and you don't want to hate them because they've been so good to you for so long. So you just sort of stop. And I understand where Kenan Thompson is coming from, because he doesn't have a career without Dan Schneider, and he's had a very good career.
Yes.
Right? And I understand why, despite everything, you just shut your mouth and don't worry about it. You know what I'm saying? I'm not defending anything. Dan Schneider is a terrible person and deserves everything he's getting right now in the year 2024. But I understand why Kenan has nothing to say about it, right? I'm not hating on Kenan.
Well, he didn't say anything nice about him, but he was just like, hey, like, I believe people that have spoken out. I didn't experience any of that. I didn't see any of it, but I believe it, which is like,
it's all you can
true.
Do.
That's all you can do.
That's all you can do.
Yeah. You can't like lie and say like, I did see stuff if you didn't.
Right. That's fine. This brings us to one of the other recurring bits, and this is the Ultima Quiz.
Ultima Quiz.
Now, this is a man playing a grandmother in a recurring bit who does impressions of other men.
Mm-hmm. Very relatable comedy.
I did not understand why he was dressed as a grandmother.
Didn't get it.
I didn't understand why they spelled ultimate as ulti-matte. As in, like, the flat color.
Ultimate.
Or, like, even if I thought, like, oh, the guy's name is Matt, like Matthew. Mm-hmm. But then why would you spell it with an E? What the absolute fuck?
It's a hat on a hat on a hat here. very definitively.
I was hoping it's a puzzle that we can all solve together.
I didn't know. And no, I didn't notice that he was doing, I didn't notice he was doing impressions till about three or four deep. So I didn't write them all down. I was too busy focusing on the questions to make sure I could get them all right.
I was exactly the same way. Mm. And now I'm kind of wondering if there even were impressions, because by the end, clearly he's doing them. I believe I first clued in on the Jack Nicholson. I was like, wait, the fuck is he doing with this? What is happening? Oh, God, no. Is this? Oh.
Same. That was question three, and that's when I first picked up on it, yeah.
But you know what? Let's listen to the first one and see if he's actually doing anything or if he's just setting us up.
Ultimate quiz. During the show, I'll pop up to ask you questions. Answer the questions on the entry form in the video toy chest box. Bring the form to your favorite Child World or Children's Palace store. That's it. If your entry is chosen, you win. Simple, huh? Could be a trip for the family to Disney World, maybe a college scholarship, or one of hundreds of other neat prizes. It's time for our first video toy chest quiz question.
That sounds straightforward.
Yeah, he's doing straightforward announcer. Yeah.
Yeah.
But dressed like a grandma.
But
dressed like a grandma.
First question, how often do your parents vote for president? And up until 2024, I would have said every 4 years. We'll see what happens. The answer might be never again. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. I would have got it.
Go out on a high note.
Yeah.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
Now back to G.I. Joe.
Bob Glitch, my other second name of the person I remember. He is our newsman on the street. Bob Glitch with the news. He comes back roughly 37 times in this video. And he has one question. One question. What's your favorite kind of toy? Almost as if that leads us into any toy we would like to do an ad for next.
How convenient.
I mean, again, in terms of like watchability, entertainment for an adult, like zero. Absolutely 0% of Rotten Tomatoes. Nothing. But as to a kid, like, sure. Look, it's called Child Witness News instead of Eyewitness News. My God, the wordplay. Stunning. And it's just like goofy and like, and the thing is like, kids want to watch toy commercials. So it's not even like, oh God, we got past the funny stuff and now it's into these fucking commercials. They're like, give me them commercials. Yeah, I got commercials. Oh, there's some other stuff. And we got more commercials. Oh my God. So there's just no way this can go wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's brilliant. It is absolutely brilliant. And Bob Glitch, what's your favorite kind of ad? I think we had cars, which brings us to Hot Wheels from Mattel. This is the Stow and Go. And
also he says, oh yeah, here's an intelligent looking kid. I was like, oh Jesus, it's gonna be just like a goofy ass kid with glasses, right? Goofy ass kid with glasses.
Of course it is, please. Honestly, I didn't not see myself in that kid when I was that age, you know.
You were never that short.
I was that short. Robert Clark Chan. No. I was not tall until about 19. Can I tell this? Can I share this?
Whoa. Oh my God.
I was mid height. I was not particularly tall in high school. And when I got to college, I grew about 6 inches my freshman year.
What the fuck?
And came back after like summer and early freshman year. I came back for Thanksgiving because we would all go to the local high school. That would be Adelaide Stevenson High School in Livonia, Michigan, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow, sponsor!
Yeah, hey, we're the Spartans, ladies and gentlemen. Somebody's freaking out right now. The point I'm trying to make, that's not where I went to high school, by the way. that was the one right next to my house. And we would do a tackle football game like every like day before Thanksgiving when everybody would come home. You would come back from your schools and all the kids would play. And so I came back and I was a monster. People were like, oh my God. Because they used to be able to push me around through a lot of high school. And that stopped being the case as soon as I got out of high school.
Ready!
Yeah. I came out, I ate a gigantic turkey leg from the Renaissance Fair in front of them. And wow. I was like, meat. And they were like, God damn. That's a large fellow now. So honestly,
on in Game of Life.
I think that's why I don't feel as ogre-ish as I am, is because I spent so much of my formative time not being particularly tall.
Wow. That explains almost nothing.
Nothing at all. No.
We gained nothing out of that story.
It explains where my runaway ego started after high school. That's where it started.
We're just gonna have to post this screenshot on
that was me. For the record, though, that is exactly That is kids at home. Yes. That is exactly what Ray looked like when Ray was a kid.
Wow.
We will be posting this as well. Trust me, you're getting all the goods.
Along with my wedding video.
Along with the wedding video. I mean, buckle in. We're not even close to being halfway done. And I know that this video is we're already at like forever. 40 minutes. So please. Okay. God bless America. This is a 40-minute video. Okay. Blazing through a little bit here. The Stow and Go. I thought the Stow and Go from Hot Wheels was cool. It was like a cityscape that you could like fold up and put away. But like there was a building that you flicked the switch and it looked like it was on fire.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
That was cool as shit.
I would own that now.
A little something for the pyromaniacs. Why not?
Yeah, I was like, you know what? This is kind of mid. And then I saw that fire. I went, oh, excuse me. I was not familiar with your game.
Forgive me.
Dissolve 2, us in the room. They cut back to that studio where the director and Annie Potts are like 1,000 times. It is a lot.
Little Annie.
Which brings us to Little Miss Magic Hair.
Yes.
A doll with hair that you would comb and it would change color.
Uh-huh.
To be more specific, because like the lead in sketch is like, oh God, her hair's blonde and it's supposed to be rainbow. What do we do? Well, fortunately, this doll does one thing. Two things. The hair goes from blonde to rainbow, and it goes from rainbow to blonde.
Killer.
Those are the two things that it does.
Make it look like it has stickers if you're careful with the way that you alternate between the regular hair and the rainbow hair.
Is that something? Did you? Oh, I see.
Yeah, it's in the commercial. Like there's like
you could do like a little stamp thing, right?
Yeah, you can.
Okay.
Yeah, I did not have this doll, but I remember the commercial vividly, and I really wanted it.
It does look kind of cool.
It's fun. Because, like, I mean, part of... I loved brushing my doll's hair, and I was like, if I can brush my doll's hair and have a fun Technicolor surprise, yes, please.
That's pretty Question. Good. Does a child today, and I guess I'm going to lean on you, Ray, because you have a child that would... of roughly the age that this would be targeted to... Do kids still want that sort of thing today, or is it just all fucking give me Roblox and I'm gonna, I don't know, get my rocks off online or whatever?
Yeah, give me some Bitcoin, Dad.
Bitcoin.
Yeah. First off, yes, she is a Bitcoin farmer. Second, she loves Roblox. But three, kids still love brush the hair dolls, although it's crazy. Because she'll sit there and brush her Ariel from Little Mermaid, which is just a bust, just like a neck up with beautiful hair you can brush. And she has this in the home right now. But she won't brush her own GD hair ever, no matter how much we ask her to.
You know, that's part of being a woman. You're good at taking care of others and you forget to take care of yourself.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's fair.
That was... Thank goodness you have Marbles there to lick your hair.
And Marbles has beautiful hair for me to brush. And that's not a joke. My dog has glorious hair.
Your dog is legitimately a fashion model.
He's never once taken a class. He's never been trained. He just knows his camera angles.
Natural talent.
He's got natural comedic talent. Like, he's got the timing down, too.
Pretty good.
Pretty good. Marbles.
This brings it now. At this point, I had not realized yet, and I had not messaged the group that this was a 40-minute video. So I started taking shorthand. I just have it's an ad for LMMH because I assumed I would remember, since obviously this isn't 40 minutes long.
Okay. Look, I don't remember. Oh, no. Yeah. Little Miss Magic Hair.
Little Miss Magic Hair.
That's
okay.
What we're talking about, Ray.
Oh, thank God. Because I looked at it and I was like, I have no idea what the hell that means. Even though I have it written, Little Miss Magic Hair on the line above, could not put that together in my mind. I blame Eileen making me drink.
Wow. Okay.
Not the first time you're going to get thrown under the bus, not the last.
And I deserve it.
It's all true.
Oh my god.
We have another Bob Glitch segment.
Yes, we do.
And the Chirons start getting wacky because it says it's Bob Glitch again, and the Chiron says Bob Glitch parentheses again, close parentheses. Mm-hmm. So wow, we're ramping up the jokes, and that poor comedy sketch guy who thought it was real funny is going to figure out two or three more iterations in that this joke is not sustainable.
No.
And those bits are going to get real bad.
They just sort of give up on the bit about three quarters of the way through the video.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But favorite kind of toy, what do you think? It's another ad for a magic nursery, and it's baby surprise gender. A gender reveal toy in 1990.
I was like, oh shit, is this going to go in a real interesting direction? Spoiler, it doesn't.
Not at all.
It reveals a birth certificate or something. It's like boy, girl, and not like genitals, which would have been fucking dope.
That would have been, I didn't even consider that. That would have been wild. Take off your baby's diaper and see a giant dick.
I mean, the baby's not going to have a giant dick at that age, but it will be discernible.
I mean, Chan, here's the deal. How do you define giant? Asking for a friend.
The other thing, too, is you have intersex options. Like, what if the
yes.
It wasn't like boy or girl, but it was like indeterminate or both sexes, or, you know, like maybe don't assign this shit at birth, you fucking troll. There's lots of interesting ways it could have gone, and they didn't bother.
They went for the most Reagan era answer possible. And that's fine. I thought it was a very strange choice for a toy. Not often do you get a toy where the mystery of the toy is, does it have a dick?
I mean, the tagline.
It disappeared. Look, a surprise package.
A surprise package.
You better believe it, bucko.
The tagline of the Crying Game. and it could be, you could be anything in that package. So,
oh my God.
I stand this early trans icon.
Early his magic nursery baby, an early trans icon.
Uh-huh, ahead of its time.
I had not considered this. Where's the fan page?
In fucking 1990, you took what you could get.
Oh my God. In more ways than one.
I'll be honest, I prefer Magic Nursery Baby as a trans icon for the era much better than Ray Finkel from Ace Ventura. Let me tell you.
That's given that the that's what era we're in, this is as good as it's going to get.
As good as it's going to get. Oh my God. All right, we got Gruff McGruff next, the crime dog. We got to have Don't Do Drugs ad. It's 1989-1990.
I hope they got some fucking government funding to put this shit in here, because that is, I mean, that's such bootlicking bullshit. I'm not a fan.
Hey kids, it's McGruff the Crime Dog. I want you to hate everyone who doesn't look like you. Now back to the show.
Is McGruff with us right now?
Ray is a licensed McGruff medium.
Panel.
At any time.
Hey, kids, all drugs with the exception of crack cocaine are good for you. I'm McGruff the Crime Dog. Wow, I wear a trench coat and hang around schoolyards, and no one suspects a thing. I love McGruff the Crime Dog.
I do, too.
I am one of the victims of the DARE program.
Oh, me too!
I still to this day have never done a drug in my entire life, and I blame the DARE program. Plus, when you hit a certain age, what's even the point anymore?
Uh-huh.
Here's the thing.
I missed out.
As a podcaster, you are legally allowed to do ayahuasca.
Oh,
okay.
As a middle-aged podcaster, you absolutely can and should do it. And then talk incessantly about it and nothing else for the remainder.
Okay, great, great. Okay, good to know.
Does that apply to women?
I think there's a bill that's going before Congress right now to make that happen. There's a lot of conservatives that just don't want that kind of drug
fair.
Equity.
That's
so
fair.
It's unfortunate, but that's the world we live in.
It is. It, you know what? Yes to all of the above. Ayahuasca. Didn't think we'd get an ayahuasca reference in the Children's Palace episode of Knowing Is Half the Podcast.
Didn't you? It is Knowing Is Half the Podcast. And this is one of the possibly worst things we've ever watched.
Oh,
like
boy.
On a level of crass commercialism, surely. Like, we're used to cartoons that are solely created to sell toys, but you would have like some really smart, interesting, creative people doing it, and like they would sneak in some real good stuff. There's nothing being snuck into these. No,
there's great rapping.
There is something that is called rapping.
There is. Now we're on the network on another news segment, and we're gonna do Tiger Toys next, which means one thing to me, which is the cheapest handheld video games you could possibly play that are terrible and for the most part don't work. And I used to get them for Christmas every single year from my outer relatives who don't know anything about me.
Aww. Wait a minute. Are you coming in hot against these LCD games?
Games are an abomination unto the Lord.
Yo.
Leviticus warned us about LCD games.
No.
The Game Boy existed at this point.
Yeah. And it was like $8 billion. You rich asshole. What do you live in Boonton Township and can afford a Game Boy?
I mean, for the record, the Game Boy came out mid-1989, so it was pretty new. And you know what? My kid, and I'm going to say this, a week ago, asked me about the Game Boy, because for Father's Day, I got a Hawaiian shirt with video game controllers all over it. That was a gift for me, and it was wonderful. And one of them was a Game Boy, and my kid's like, "What's that?" I go, "Let me show you."
Oh, my God.
I go out to the garage and get my Game Boy and try to show it to her, and the interest faded quickly. But the point is, yes, Robert Clark Chan, I had a Game Boy, and I still do.
But you keep it in the garage? I got mine in my... Our office is also a game room, and that's just the thing you need to know about me. It's in the game room.
You are living your best 11-year-old life, and nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, look, my garage is my recording studio, my work from home area, and also my game room, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay. You had to go outside to do your things.
That is 100%. I have to get kicked out of the house in order to enjoy retro games, and I now have a CRT TV set up in here. Robert Clark Chan has seen it. He can tell you it's true.
I believe you.
With shame in my heart, I say that I have seen it. There is...
Oh, please. You would be over here to play Eternal Darkness, Sanity's Requiem, faster than I could say Yankee Doodle Cricket. And don't you pretend otherwise.
And only Eternal Darkness, Sanity's Requiem. I wish it were on a flat screen. I will take what I can get, because that is the best goddamn game ever.
Looks better on a CRT, Chan. It's the era.
I don't know about that.
I'm telling you, I played Dreamcast games on my flat screen, and it made me buy a CRT because it didn't look right.
It didn't look good?
It didn't look great, no. It was too big. The games weren't designed to have so many colors and be too big, and it does the best it can with like the HDMI connector, but ultimately, you're not playing the game as intended that way. And it's honestly, there is a difference. I've noticed it. Plus, you get that little buzz sound when you turn the TV on, and it gets me all turgid.
We're all doing the best we can, Ray.
Anyway, moving forward. the first Tiger Toy is not an LCD game. We'll be talking about those in a sec. It's the Lanky Doodles. Lanky Doodles. That is some sort of weird animal toy that has super long legs.
Hold on.
Lanky Doodle Rabbit.
I had to listen to that like 40 times to figure out that it was a Lanky Doodle Rabbit and not a raptor. I kept hearing raptor and raptor.
You did?
I'm like,
wait, here, play it again. How could you possibly have heard raptor? Play it one more time.
We'll be right back.
I'm a Lanky Doodle Rabbit.
He very clearly says bit. Like, he enunciates it real hard.
I have no explanation.
Wow.
So I'm listening to it now, and I'm just like, how did I hear raptor? But I've very clearly heard raptor many times.
Robert, I'm usually on your side, and I can't be on your side.
Eileen, you are a young and vibrant 35.
I'm 35. Same number as Frank Thomas's jersey.
That's a good player right there, I'll tell you what.
I definitely know who Frank Thomas is.
I saw Frank Thomas going to a hotel here in Hollywood one time.
Oh, my God. Yeah,
I bet I have, too.
Yeah. I don't know what he was doing at that hotel. This was not too many years ago.
Frank Thomas is a white guy, right?
No, he is not.
No.
So you did not see Frank Thomas.
No.
Okay, well, I've seen a bunch of non-white guys, so I'm going to assume that those are him instead.
There you go. Should. Well, Frank Thomas is like 6'6", a large African-American man who is, you know him if you know him, right?
He's the Big Hurt.
Yes. He's the Big Hurt, Frank Thomas.
Big Hurt. He's my hero.
He's a very good player. You know, I'm not no fan of the White Sox, don't get me wrong.
Wow.
But how are you not a fan of Frank Thomas, right? It's
guys, he's the only like a home run hitter of the 90s that didn't use steroids, and we love him for that.
How dare you? We had Cecil Fielder in 1990 hit 51 home runs.
All right, there is but no 1990 shot. Is basically the 80s.
No shot. That was the year of this video. Was the year of Cecil Fielder taking over baseball for 1 year.
All right.
You're going to challenge me. How dare you?
Listen.
Speaking of which, in 8 minutes, we're only 8 minutes and 15 seconds into this video, ladies and gentlemen. This is going all night.
This is
the longest episode in Who Would Win Show. Oh, my God. Now I'm doing it.
This is a telethon.
In knowing is half the podcast history.
This is the worst.
Look, we recorded Who Would Win last night. It's still fresh in my darn mind.
Okay.
Eileen, when are you coming back as a judge on Who Would Win? I only asked because...
Why are you fucking inviting me?
I want you back constantly, and James is still so unhappy that he lost the Muppets versus Sesame Street battle that you judged.
And that was 5 years ago.
We
recorded that on my 30th birthday.
Yeah, you were barely 30 when we did that episode. You're so much wiser. Not that you were wrong. You were totally correct to make the decision you did. Don't get me wrong.
I was very impartial, and I was very proud of myself for that.
We're booking you right now. As soon as we're done recording, we're setting the time. You're coming
yes.
back.
Yes.
No, please. This is outrageous that it's taken this long. I'm not getting bullied around anymore. I'm a giant. Anyway, can we please hear this sound drop of Robo T at only 8 minutes and 15 seconds?
Oh, no. I already got it queued up, son.
Fuck me.
Yo, Robo. It's a pleasure to see you, man.
Well, thank you kindly. My pleasure, too. To meet a book as smart as you. Now, I could talk slow, but I'd rather talk fast.
Faster still. Oh, what a joy.
Oh, what a thrill.
Stop.
No, seriously. Stop, Robo-T. Stop.
Stop. You're incorrigible.
Oh, my God. Robo-T. I want to, like, find out that Robo-T is a young Eminem. Really? I'm not sold that it is, but it could be.
Lin-Manuel Miranda.
No,
holy crap.
No,
I think he's a little too Caucasian to be Lin-Manuel.
I don't see Caucasians.
Please. That is
100%. I only see rap.
Then I don't know how you see Lin-Manuel Miranda.
You guys, that is a young Violent J if I have ever seen.
How effing dare you?
And
I don't know that you're wrong.
No, he does come into his own in the later years, and his rapping gets it doesn't get better, but we all say that it does, so that he'll feel good about himself.
Are we talking about Robo T or Violent J right now?
Yes.
Are we talking about Robo T or just myself?
Thank
also,
you.
Also, yes.
Aww, I do feel good about myself.
This brings us to one of my heroes of the 1980s, John Machida.
Right?
I love John Machida, and I've grown to appreciate him more and more as time has gone on, from his role in Transformers to his being the Micro Machines guy. Here is John Machida with the Motor Mouth game.
At the peak of his popularity,
this was it.
He could get a game made about himself, which is dope as hell.
He's the world's fastest talker. And there's no doubt you know who John Machida is, even if you don't. He's the guy from all those commercials who talked really fast.
There you go.
That was his deal.
I'm John Machida, and this is my great new game, Motor Mouth.
I mean, it's actually kind of an interesting gimmick. I would not mind having that game.
There are several games that were board games that were advertised on this show that I think must become Knowing Is Half the Podcast streamed game night, where we play board games from this video together.
Oh my God.
On the internet live.
All right, look.
Eileen, are you in?
I've already invited myself in my head. So
you're in.
We'll break out some Patreon money to get Motor Mouth.
I will point them out as we get to them, because I made a note every time, because I got more and more excited the more board games we saw on this. The Motor Mouth game is definitely on the list, though. Which brings us back to Robo T rapping at 8:55, and I want it.
Boy, that question's really lame. Can't you see? I'm going to the game.
Yeah.
That's it.
No, but can you play it extended just slightly for me? Because there was a moment I want to highlight.
But which game?
Yeah. Why, the bow game, of course. Look at that bow, so tough, so tall. Steps up to the plate and hits that ball. Football also rolls and rocks. Bow is the best. King of the Jack.
Keep going.
What?
No, we're not done yet.
He's great.
He's great.
Just him.
You can't tell me you didn't love that. Please.
Oh my God.
He's great. We have to tell the audience, because otherwise they will not know. That brings us, look, Bo Jackson. The Bo Knows ads. The people I assume listening to this know the Bo Knows ads.
They were
Nike ads, because Bo Jackson was a very talented athlete. He played professional NFL football as a running back for the Oakland Raiders, and he played baseball at an all-star level for the Kansas City Royals.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like Nike just blew this guy up. Like, he was incredible. He was a pro bowler and an all-star in two sports. You didn't get that. Deion Sanders did play a very high level of baseball, but not as a high level as Bo Jackson, I don't think, even though he did steal a lot of bases. Deion Sanders could play, man. People don't remember Neon Deion as the Atlanta Braves baseball player. But the point I'm trying to make is that Bo Jackson, we just haven't seen it. We haven't seen anything like this.
I mean, are you forgetting that Michael Jordan played both basketball and baseball and golf and coached?
Enough with your space jamming, Eileen.
And they coached the Toon Squad.
Yes.
Space Jam.
Yes, Eileen, I have forgotten about those things, because his baseball career was about as forgettable as mine, and I didn't have one.
I have not forgotten, because Egon, still big fan of both Space Jam movies.
Oh, interesting.
So okay. Pulled out of one.
You know, that's why you raise them right.
I did not. I guess
about 50%, because the second one's really bad. But you know, I tried to help them.
I see Eileen coming over to the Clark Chan established a domicile with a secret DVD of Goofy movie and then slipping it under Egon's pillow.
I can do that. I will do that for you.
We have tried the Goofy movie. He hasn't been that into it. I think he has not established the proper relationship with his father that would make him emotionally invest in this film.
Perhaps if you watched the Terrifier movies with him, Chan, that would help.
I'll see what I can do. That sounds like a good idea. Better than some of the ideas I've had.
And these are some of the Tiger Toys electronic LCD games of the Bo Jackson era, and they are not good. You do not get a real baseball or football experience from these games. I am sorry.
Of course not. But like before that, it was LED games, not LCD games, and they were even worse. That's what we fucking had, man. You
Game Boy
football with that little red light, the little like a little red rice grain.
I know what you're talking about. Yeah, those are the good old days. But we had Game Tetris existed at this moment. Days. So no, not having it. This brings us back to the Granny Show. Now the Granny is here not asking trivia questions, and I think the one segment Granny appears without asking them, and we get boulders on set, and then we get boulders on set, and so foam giant boulders like fall from the sky, and Granny hulks up and throws them against the wall, and that's the bit.
They had these, and someone's like, oh, this would be great, let's do a skit around them, but they don't understand what would be funny about a grandma throwing boulders.
They do not,
because they made it like you could have cut edited it so that it looked like she was like super strong and lifting things and, you know, like whatever, but they like left in enough footage so that you can see it bouncing and just like bouncing around like it's what it is, you know. Yeah. Just like fucking sponge painted gray, and I was real disappointed because I'm like, if you're even going to fucking bother to do it, do it.
Do the bit. Yeah. Yeah.
Commit to the bit.
This takes us back to Tiger Action Arcade. Double Dragon 2, ladies and gentlemen. These are all LCD games based on Nintendo hits. Double Dragon 2, Ninja Gaiden, Outrun Paperboy, and something the F called Vindicators.
Oh, yeah.
All in LCD shitty form.
Hey, I mean, you take what you can get.
I could get a Game Boy.
90.
Game. I mean, Ninja Gaiden, like, that is a game that had some legs. Double Dragon, one of the best brawler beat-em-ups of all time.
Sure.
And Paperboy was a personal favorite when I was a kid.
Yeah.
I like Mayhem.
We know.
You like the mayhem of the journalism industry?
Yes, yeah. I was thinking more like mayhem from those insurance ads, but sure, you know.
Were you? You did not make that clear at all.
No, I kind of added it after the fact. That was a little George Lucas CGI ad after the fact.
Oh, okay. It's like poetry. It rhymes.
Thank you. Now it's time for culture, and we are going to get great music of the world. And so a toy piano is in the center of an empty stage, and somebody presses a button. Which brings us to game two of Knowing Is Half the Podcast Game Night, the Notability Game. Guess the song by playing it on a toy piano. Now, we might not find this one, but I'll try.
I mean, part of the problem is a lot of these things have, like, electronics in it, and, like, the odds that that shit's going to be working 35 years later, not great.
No, this is the one I worry about being able to just find. I haven't actually looked. I have looked for some of these other games, and I've been unable to find them yet. But, you know, we'll talk about
it. No, I found the Motormouth game. There's a bunch of them. People
okay,
have
good. That's not the one I'm talking about. I'm talking about a future game that looked too good to be true.
Oh, yeah, you're not going to find that one, dude.
0% I don't think we're talking about the same one, but also I want to find the one you're talking about.
Okay.
Because we're definitely playing it. We'll get there when we get there. Question two.
Hold on. Dang. Yes. I think I see it on Amazon. There's like a little piano on the cover, and there's cards.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I think this is not available. It's on there, though. They know what we're talking about.
They do the piano game. Now, hold on a sec. Because listen, oh no, this is the remake. Oh no, I want to find the original.
Oh, come on.
Oh, the original is $129.
All right, let's
not of it. I'm talking about Mall Madness.
No. Yes!
Game I desperately want to play.
Okay.
If we buy it on eBay, it is $129 for 1989 vintage Mall Madness, and it works.
If it works,
it says it works in the listing.
That would be an acceptable price because that looked pretty dope.
It's a fun game. There used to be a place near Atwater Village called Game House. It's like a board game cafe.
Oh, I know Game House. Yeah.
They don't have it. They closed. They closed.
Years ago. Yeah.
Years ago. They had really good cake, but that's besides the point. And they had Mall Madness. I can personally vouch that they had it and it was fun to play.
Oh, no. Look at there was a newer, because there is, if you look up Mall Madness,
yeah.
It shows up on Amazon. But it doesn't look anything like that version.
It's very different.
Story Mall and all this. This is like a square.
Who the fuck,
No, I want a three-dimensional mall that talks to me.
With a credit card.
You don't even know. Like board games, like the classic board games, Hungry Hungry Hippos and others, still exist in the modern world. Mousetrap. But they are all shittier plastic versions of the originals. And they've all been like, they're all bad. They barely work. And the rules are all different. And it's just not the same, guys. It's just not the same.
I believe you.
It's depressing. Look, as a board game aficionado, it does not play. Anyway, question two of our big question. We're one for one so far. Who is the Material Girl? Kind of a weird question for children, but they would still know.
Yeah, well, I mean, these aren't meant to be fucking hard, man. They just want your contact information so they can send you more shit.
No, there are a couple of these were very hard, but we'll get into it.
I like
Ray that. Ray bought a Scantron and tried to
mailing it in. It's been 34 years, but I'm hoping that I can still win the Disney World trip.
I remember these days when places would offer a scholarship as a prize, and usually what that would be is like $100 to college, which means that they would buy like a $10 bond that would mature in like 20 years or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like the jankiest prize you could possibly imagine, and especially when they don't list how big the scholarship is. That's some bullshit is what it is.
You know it's not paying for your whole ride.
I'm saying it might just get you a couple textbooks.
Not even.
I love savings bonds though. I'm just gonna go on the record and say that.
I used to get savings bonds all the time. And when I finally cashed them in, after like 15 years after I received them, collectively my response was, oh, that's all I get.
Oh wow. Yeah. I still have some, like I got like I very old relatives that would get me them when I was a baby, and they'd be like 30, 40 year bonds. Like there's still some that I'm like, what's this maturing? Thank you, dead person.
Can't wait to get that $50 in 2046.
It's spending money.
God bless America. You'll be able to buy a head of lettuce.
Grandma and grandpa. Thank you.
Yeah. Next up, we have
I do want to check to see if Grandma was doing an impression this time.
Please.
Also was not checking at this point.
Oh, it's time for quiz question number 10.
Oh, it is.
Look at your
form and name the very famous Material Girl.
What is that an impression of?
Probably
that is
like
Sean Penn from Past Times at Ridgemont High.
You are 100% correct.
Yeah.
Good one. Good one.
Not a good one. Very bad one.
He's a bad one.
I don't think any of his impressions. You know what? A couple of them weren't terrible.
They were all terrible, and some of them are worse than others. So.
Yeah, okay, that's fair. This brings us to the manage your favorite baseball all-stars. It's a LCD shitty game, but it talks to you.
Bob Glitch is back, and the Chiron reads,
parentheses, you know who, close parentheses.
Yeah, I like
this. This is the point where the writer was like, oh, fuck. I don't know what else to do here.
I do like that. Also, he says, we're here live in game talking to one of the baseball players.
Oh, I love this.
Clearly,
kid.
They have clearly, first off, not left the set that they were on previously. There is obviously not a baseball game happening here. They don't even pretend, except you're right, Eileen. The kid's reaction when he's like trying to like pay attention to the game and sort of pay attention to the guy, and then you hear a ball get hit like for a home run over his head. His reaction when he goes over his head, he's like, ah, fuck it. Anyway, what's your question?
Yeah. I like
it's
it when
so
he just
good.
Like, I like it when he just throws his brother under the bus. He's like, I should play every role, every like every
oh my god.
My brother fucking sucks at baseball.
I don't typically enjoy child performances. This one is different. This kid should have been a star. You don't know this. That was Leonardo DiCaprio. Thank you. Wow. Academy Award winner.
Didn't seem like it. Seemed like
we had a lot of work done.
Just and like just off camera, there were a bunch of like 20-year-old women.
He's like 9 in this. So
yeah, look, he didn't age out of it, Chan. What do you want?
Yeah, he's always been in. He's had one type his whole life.
That's it. Moving on, we have the toy critics. Another recurring bit: Siskel and Budget. Did I hear that
hold on,
right?
Hold on, wait. No. Yes, and I was also confused by that. But the robot voice on this game, because the game
okay,
is
okay. You want to go there? Talk. I was thinking about asking for it, but I decided not to. But we can go there.
And like so many things in this video are like the magic of a talking blank. So like this is a talking video game, like a shitty LCD video game, but we're talking.
Ever dream of managing your own big league baseball team? Introducing Tigers Baseball All-Stars from the Gamecock series. Pick your starting lineup.
Mattingly, Sierra.
Hear their
Fuck it. Mattingly.
Oh my god. And if you don't know, the number of times when I was of this age, of this era, and I referred to the Minnesota Twins outfielder as Kirby Fuck It, you just don't know me at all.
Sure. No, we all did.
Sorry, Kirby, R.I.P. hell of a player.
He knew.
Hell of a player. yeah, so we have the toy critics, Siskel and Budget.
I don't understand.
Just weird.
What is that?
Yeah. And they like Doritos Crunch. Like suddenly we got chips in here or something?
Crunchers potato chips, okay. Which must have been a local thing. I was trying to tell if it was a bit or an actual like mini ad.
Don't know. It looked too real to be a bit. Let me say that. Like, but if you're going to do a bit, wouldn't there be a joke there and not just something that sounds like it could plausibly exist?
You have watched this video, right?
I have, sadly, yes.
There have been many points where it has the rhythm of a joke.
It's got the, it's got good intentions.
does it, though? I would question that immensely. Now, at first, I thought they were leading us into an ad for Care Bears, and I was going to be like Robert Clark Chan, Care Bears, we're there.
Aww. Mm-hmm.
But no, it's the Bubble Bears.
The bears
that blow bubbles?
I don't understand it. The shit doesn't even come with the bubble solution. No, I am going
sold separately.
I'm going to take a goddamn screenshot of this because they're selling you a bubble bear without the bubbles. That is an offense to God and man.
Yeah.
Look, batteries not always included, Robert Clark Chan. You just have to learn to buy your own bubble mixture.
That would be like buying a pack of AAA batteries, opening up and saying, batteries not included. And there's just nothing in there. It's a bubble bear.
I can see where that would frustrate you. And yes, the bubble bear should come with bubbles. Although that would probably make packaging very difficult. Like it could spill and
then
be gross.
Don't make a fucking bubble bear.
Look, I didn't make the bubble bear. I don't know why you're mad at me.
I made the bubble bear.
I knew it.
It was me this whole time. And I did it just to fuck with you, Robert Clark Jr.
1 year old Eileen Mary O'Connell made the bubble bears from the crib.
I was a child prodigy and a child evil genius.
These are Care Bear knockoffs that make bubbles. That's the whole deal.
I don't like their little faces. Their little, like, I'm giving you a blowjob face.
Why would you?
I don't appreciate it. I don't want, it's too much eye contact.
For the record, we are an hour 15 into this recording. I don't think we are halfway. Guys, turn back if you can. We're going to be here all night. I'm about to get another beer. Because I wrote down the time code, because we got more Robo T rapping at 13:25. I don't think we're ever getting out of this episode, ladies and gentlemen. This is a marathon. Welcome to 9 years of Knowing Is Half the Podcast, and we killed you the next day. This is a 5-hour episode that went till 2 in the goddamn morning when we recorded it.
Ready.
It is almost 10 p.m. on a Tuesday, and we're not close to being done.
We're going down with this shit.
I'm committed. I'm seeing this to the end. I blame Robert Clark Chan for doing this to me. This should have been a two-parter, and there's no effing shot we're doing this as a two-parter.
Absolutely not.
We're not. You guys hadn't heard from me in a long time, and now you're getting a 10-hour episode with America's Stepmom.
There's going to be somebody who's like, oh, Knowing Is Half the Podcast. Fun. I like that show. I'm going to listen to it. 3 hours, 25 minutes. What the fuck were they doing?
We're a Lord of the Rings extended director's cut.
There's going to be 5 endings to this. Each
Peter
one
Jackson,
false.
Eat your fucking heart out.
Yeah, Peter Jackson, if nothing else, fuck you, Peter Jackson, eat your heart out. The Eagles should have been able to just drop Frodo off in Mordor.
But officially, thank you for Meet the Feebles, but also maybe a little F you for that, too.
Yes! Look,
the Frighteners was a GD classic.
I love the Frighteners. That I don't think that was Peter Jackson. That was Robert Zemeckis, wasn't it?
I think
he just wanted to say a movie that he likes.
I love the Frighteners. That's one of my that's a gateway movie for kids to enjoy horror movies.
Indeed, it is.
I am looking it up right now.
Well,
and it was in
Ray
fact directed
that.
By Peter Jackson, but it is in the style. Honestly, I didn't know that. That's actually wonderful. That explains more than it should. I really thought that was a Zemeckis because it has the Who Framed Roger Rabbit vibe in that movie.
Mm. Oh, so good.
Anyway, while Chen gets Robo T ready, I'm grabbing another bubbly.
I'm going to also grab a bubbly, and I'm going to take my birth control.
You know what? I'm leaving that in. One.
Please do. And my SSRIs. I double dip.
Look, I got my happy pills too, but I save them for later. I don't want to be too happy watching this.
I will be right back. I'm also going to pee. Leave that in.
At this point, we are going to split the show in half. So I don't know who's listening to this, but...
this is where the ad break's going.
No, here's where we're cutting the show in half.
Do you think this is going to be a two-parter? We're actually doing this as a two-parter?
Do you know how fucking long this is going to be?
I do!
Do you ever find yourself thinking about who would win in a fight between Goku and Superman? Hi, I'm James Gavsey, and on the Who Would Win show, me and my co-host Ray ignore anything important happening in the outside world and debate fictional battles between characters from comics, movies, and video games.
We got a new show every week, and almost always am I the winner.
Yeah, not true, Ray.
In the past, we've discussed such matches as Captain America versus Darth Vader, Solid Snake versus the Iron Giant, classic matchups like RoboCop versus Terminator, and even the Muppets versus Sesame Street.
That one was crazy. So if you're a fan of geek culture and love a spirited debate, check out the Who Would Win Show wherever you get your podcasts, or check us out at whowouldwinshow.com.